We're going to go ahead and get started. It's good to see everyone this morning. Today is the first. That's why we're having our thing. First of May. It's May already. Clipping along. Here's my marker master. Thank you very much. Okay. Before we get started, let's have a word of prayer together. Dear Father, we're thankful for all that you do for us spiritually, physically. We thank you for this time that we have to come and to study your word. We pray that you would be with each of us. Help us to have soft hearts, Father, to the things that you would have us to know and do. Father, we're thankful for the time that we had yesterday to memorialize Tom and Sharon, and we thank you for their life. We know that you're taking care of them. We'd ask that you would give them peace and watch over them until we can all be together. We thank you for your son, and it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Okay. Trying a little something different today. We're talking about Peter and lessons that we can learn from Peter. And I can tell you right up front, we will not get through everything today on this particular lesson. But I'd like first to go ahead and turn to John, if you would. John chapter 6. And in verse 41. John 6, 41, there's a situation here where Jesus gives a message that's hard for the people to understand. And he loses many of his disciples over it. And so that's kind of the context. And let me read this, because it's part's a little long, so I'm familiar with it, so I'll read through it fairly quickly. But if you'll follow with me, starting in verse 41 of John 6, 41. It says, "Then the Jews complained about him, because he said, 'I am the bread which came down from heaven.' And they said, 'Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I've come down from heaven?' Jesus therefore answered and said to them, 'Do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God, he has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world.' The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, 'How can this man give us his flesh to eat?' Then Jesus said to them, 'Most assuredly I say unto you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink the blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Okay, so kind of what is Jesus saying here? And we know, I mean, if we heard this for the first time, you know, we might be a lot like they were. Right? Like, what is he talking about? He came from heaven. Isn't this like Joseph's kid? I mean, don't we know him? Right? And what's this eat of his flesh? And but what is Jesus saying? What do we know that he's saying?
His death on the cross.
His death on the cross, what?
For mankind.
Okay, he's gonna die on the cross. What else is he saying? I'm sorry? Okay, I mean, we will have communion with him eventually. I mean, he's going to give of his flesh. He's going to give of his blood, which ultimately we will remember in communion.
He's saying just as the flesh, or just as food and drink nourish your body, let me nourish your spirit. Let me drown yourself and consume yourself and unite with me.
Yeah, I am the bread of life, right? He's really talking about a spiritual thing, and they're stuck in the physical piece, right? It's just like when he says he's going to be born again, and they're like, what is he talking about? Like, how does somebody enter the womb a second time, right? Well, we're not talking literally born again, physically. We're talking spiritually. And he says, you know, your fathers ate of the manna that came from heaven, you know, that came, and they died. That was a physical thing. I'm giving you something spiritual. And to us, you know, we can get it because we have the whole context and we have the word and we've studied it and we are where we are. But when where they are, it's a little more difficult. Look at verses, starting verse 60, and then we'll end this piece here, because this is where Peter comes in. And he says, therefore, many of his disciples, this is verse 60, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? And now here he explains it a little more. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are what? Spirit. Therefore, they're what? Life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and what? They walked with him no more. Then Jesus turned to the 12. Do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil? He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12. Okay. So verse 60, right? Some of his disciples, what are they saying?
He's dealing with difficult things.
This is a difficult thing, right? This is hard to understand. I do not understand. And you have a choice, right? When you don't understand something, what are your choices? Think about times when you don't understand something the first time. What are your choices?
Be frustrated.
Okay, you can be frustrated.
Ignore it.
So you can ignore it and say, this is too difficult. Okay, I'm not reading this manual. Or you do what?
Accept.
You accept it, but what does accepting it look like? You learn more, right? You dig in. Okay, so I mean, you've got a choice when you don't, when something just doesn't come to you, right? Which is most of my life, because I'm always the brightest person in the world. So you've got a choice to make. You're either like, that's not worth my time, that's too hard, I'm out of here, I'm done, I don't need to do that. Or you're like, I have to dig into this a little harder. And a lot of his disciples chose what? To walk away. And it says they followed him no more. How sad is that? To be that close to the Son of God. Right there. And you walked away. I mean, that close. Think of all the people still in the world who were not walking with the Son of God. He is right there. You can hear him with your own ears. And you missed that opportunity. Right, you walked away because you couldn't understand one thing. Right, but they walked away. But then Jesus turns to the 12, and Peter speaks up. And what does Peter say? Because he's, what question does he ask the 12 in verse 67? Do you want to go away too? I mean, I picked you. You're the 12, but do you want to go? And of course, Peter speaks up. What does Peter say? Where are we going to go? And why does he say that?
Because he knows Jesus has the words of life.
You have the words of life. All right? You have the words of life. And he says what in verse 69? And we have also, not only do you have the words of life, but we have also, what? Come to believe and know that you're the Christ. I mean, when you have that level of awareness now, he says, we have come to believe and know. What does that suggest? It's learning. It's a process. Right? It doesn't just, you know, happen. It's a process. It's an investment of time. It's they've watched him. They've walked with him. Peter's been on the water and fell down. He's seen the boat move with that, you know, go to the shore like this. He's seen Christ cast out demons. He's also seen with his own power what he can do because Christ gave him the power to do it in the 12, and they're doing miracles. When you have that level of knowledge, right? He says, we have come to believe and to know. It gets pretty hard to walk away from that. I mean, because it's hard. When you think about knowing, when you know that Jesus is the Son of God, when you know he has, walking away from that is pretty difficult. You can walk away, but that's going to eat at you. I mean, it's going to eat at you. It's not easy to walk away from Jesus once you've really known him. Because you're going to remember that when you're out there eating with the pigs. At some point, you're going to go, what in the world am I doing? Is there a difference between believing and knowing? He says, we've come to believe and to know that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Is there a difference between believing and knowing?
Could be.
Could be?
But I don't think it is true in this case.
Okay.
One is more academic, one is, I've tried it, I've had experiences that confirm it, now I know it to be true.
Okay. So one is a little bit of testing it a bit more, and you know it to be true. Steve?
I just going to say it's kind of like when I get in my car, I know how the internal combustion engine is. I know I know that, but I believe that when I put my key in and turn it, it's going to start. In other words, that belief is kind of like the active phase of knowing something.
Okay.
The depth of the knowledge.
Okay. May not fully be able to see this, but I'm going to suggest to you, probably over the next couple of weeks, that there are six levels of faith. Okay? And we will, and I want you to be thinking, where are you at? All right, go ahead.
Knowledge to me is something you've experienced. Typically we might say through your five senses. Like, you could be on your way home from the store and a deer runs in front of you. You miss it by 3 inches. That's knowledge for you. You come home and tell me about it. I choose to believe or not believe that. I don't have the knowledge. I wasn't there. I didn't experience it.
Okay.
It's like the news, when we hear the news. That's secondhand information. We choose to accept it or not as true. And the people who were in those events that happened, they have the knowledge. They were there. They experienced it.
Okay. All right. So I'm not going to answer it now. Let's study, right, and think about it. So I'm suggesting that there's these six levels. For those of you that it's unaware, aware, understand, believe, action, and know. So you can have an unaware, you know, an awareness level of faith, an understanding level of faith, a believing level of faith, an action level of faith, and a knowing level of faith. Okay? You can challenge me on this as we go through. That's fine. That's what it's about. So we're going to look at examples. We're going to look at scriptures. Because ultimately where I want to go to, what we'll wrap up at the end whenever this ends, is I do want us to think about that Peter had a knowing level of faith. Peter's a very special individual. And we can hopefully understand why he had a knowing level of faith. And we'll also talk about, you know, once you get to any one of these, are you like graduated and you never go back to the third grade? Or can you drop? Right? Can you go from knowing to somewhere else? Okay. All right. Let's look at unaware for a moment. Now, this is the one where you could question and say, well, it's not really a level of faith, but it is. Unaware, right, when you think about it, you're unaware of, you know, complete ignorance of the Word of God or the existence of Christ. And again, this is in the context of Christ when I say faith and, you know, in the Word of God. Okay, so there are people, and even growing up, you know, if you're a baby, at some point you're unaware, right? I mean, at some point you move from unaware, hopefully, to aware. But there are people in the world, adults, who are unaware. As hard as that is to believe with our social media and the internet and the Bibles, you know, the biggest printed book in the world and all of that, there are people, and we always say, well, what about those people in remote islands who are, you know, wherever they are, but there are people who are unaware. If you look at Romans 10, somebody read Romans 10, 13 through 15. Romans 10, 13 through 15. Go ahead, Harry, you have that for us?
For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things.
Okay, thank you. All right. So what do we learn? What do we learn here? And it says, how then, first of all, it talks in verse 13, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is that saying Jesus? What does that mean? Without getting into a whole thing there, but what does that mean? We actually will get to it through this, but what does it mean to call on the name of the Lord? Can you just call? Is it just calling out to God and you're saved? Okay, you accept him, and by accepting him, what does that mean? You're going to do what he says, right? So there's actually action at some point that happens. Okay, you have to have an action faith at some point, right, to be saved. So, but he says, how then shall they call on him, or how can they be saved? How can they get to that point of salvation if they've not what? Well, before that, believed. Right? He says, so that tells you you have to believe at some point. You have to have a believing faith. But then he says, then how shall they believe in him who they've what? Not heard. I mean, if you've never heard of him, then you don't even have a chance to believe. Okay, so you have to hear before you can believe. Right? And and he says, of course, then, and how shall they hear without a preacher? It's one of the reasons we're told to go teach, to go preach, to move people from unaware to aware that there is a God, there is a Christ, right? There is Jesus. Right? Philip preached Jesus to the eunuch, and we'll look at that, right? Moved him from, you know, awareness actually to understanding. But so you have to move people from unaware to aware. You can't believe something without hearing it. You don't have a chance to move forward. So hearing, being exposed, moves you from unaware to aware. Okay. Then if you just drop down to verse 17, what does verse 17 tell us? Someone read that. Okay. So then faith, right, comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so awareness, again, comes from hearing. So I'm kind of covering two in one, because you have to start with awareness, but I'm focused now on the way that you become aware is you hear. So from the feet of those who preach the gospel. Faith comes by hearing. It raises an awareness. James 1:9. Let's look at that real quick. What's that say? James 1:9.
Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted.
That's James 1:9? Ugh, I messed that up. Okay.
You want 19?
Probably. Why don't you read 19, Harry?
So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to write.
Thank you, Harry. That's exactly the one I wanted. Right? So one of the things that we need to be able to do is to be swift to hear. We do not want to Sometimes people, we say they've closed what? Their ears. Look in Revelation 100 times, you know, where it says, Jesus says, he that has what? Ears to hear, let him hear. I mean, are you listening to what I'm telling you? You have to move from being in the dark to being aware of what the real situation is. An awareness of Jesus, an awareness that he's there, and that there could be someone called the Son of God, is a level of faith. Now, I'll suggest that it's not a saving level of faith, it's not a saved level of faith, but there is a level of faith there, at least in awareness. It's very small. In Luke 18:15, we're told there of the different seeds. Luke 18:15, right? The parable where the sower, and he's throwing seed over here, and he's throwing seed over here. And in Luke 8:15, what does that say? Are you kidding me?
Luke
18:15. 8:15. Okay, I thought I did another one. I'm getting
the one that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble heart. Sorry.
That's it.
Okay. With a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience.
Okay. So those that were on the good ground, right, the parable of the sower, and you can go back and look at that. I'm not here to go through all that today. But when it fell on the good ground, those are the people who, what?
Heard.
When they heard it, they became aware. When they became aware, what did they do? What did it say later in that verse?
Having heard the word with a noble and good heart, they keep it.
They keep it. In what?
And
bear fruit. They hear it, they pull it in, and they bear fruit. Right? That's the start of your walk. That is the start of being on a good path, is that you become aware of what God wants you to do, and then you have choices around that. Once you're aware, though, being aware doesn't mean that you what? Okay. What? In the passage we opened with, what did the disciples say? Why did they leave?
Because it was too hard, they said.
I don't understand this. I mean, this is hard. Like, I don't understand. Right? Being aware of Jesus, were they aware of Jesus? I mean, at least they knew that there was someone here saying, I am the Son of God. No man comes to the Father but by me. I am the bread of life. They're now aware of this individual, but they don't have understanding. They're not at that level. And unfortunately, they bailed. Right? They bailed. Proverbs 2:6 tells us, right, that for the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and what? Understanding. I couldn't even begin to go through all the passages in Proverbs that talks about, you know, wisdom and understanding, get wisdom, you know, all of that. Okay. But we have to move to understanding. 1 Corinthians 14:15. Look at that one. What does that say? 1 Corinthians 14:15. See if you do this. Okay, so you're going to pray with spirit and understanding, you're going to sing with spirit and understanding. And why was he saying this? This is for extra points for people who know the context of this passage. What was the issue? Speaking in tongues, right? And what was he saying about speaking in tongues? It's no good if no one understands what in the world you're talking about. I mean, if I get up here and teach this class in Portuguese, I mean, it might be okay if you know Portuguese. I can't even say Portuguese, okay? But you're not gonna understand. So it doesn't benefit the hearer. The goal is understanding. That's the next level. There's no need to preach if people can't understand you. What you need to do is bring them from awareness. That's why they're here. They're aware that they need to be here. They don't understand everything, but they're here. And we need to do things in a way that we understand them, right? That we can understand what's going on. And said, you know, if you're just preaching, that doesn't matter. So when we sing, we have to sing with the understanding. When we pray with the understanding of what we're doing and why it matters. I mean, we just don't do stuff. It needs to be with the understanding of why we do it. And he said, that's the conclusion then. This is the whole conclusion of everything he's saying is we have to do these things with the Spirit and with understanding. Jesus said God is a spirit and he wants people to worship him how? Spirit and in truth. And to worship him in truth, you have to what? You have to understand what it is. What is truth? That's another level of faith. Right? To understand. I now understand. Now I understand. I stuck with it. I hung around for a while. I was aware. I stayed there. Now I get it. Okay? Have you ever been there in your faith where you finally read something or someone taught something and it's like, I get that now. I've wondered what that meant. Right? It's a level of understanding. 2 Timothy 2:7. Let's flip over there because we've got two passages in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2:7. What's that say? Okay, so here, Paul's saying, listen to what I'm saying, and I wish for you, I pray for you, that the Lord gives you what? Understanding. That you can understand this. And 2 Timothy, we drop down to 15. What does verse 15 say?
Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Okay, so word of what? What's the beginning say?
Study.
We're to study. Some say be diligent, right? But that's the being diligent. It's like not giving up. Understanding is hard. Listen, you can get frustrated with a lot of things. There's certain people in your life, you're like, I'm never going to understand that person. Okay? And maybe it's okay that you don't have to understand that person. Maybe they're not, right? Or you don't have to understand how certain things work. But you need to be diligent in the Word of God. Don't give up. Keep digging. Because there's bigger things for you. The blessings don't just come at understanding. Right? Which we're going to talk about. That's not where you're blessed. You're not blessed at understanding. So, but we need to understand. We need to study. We need to be diligent. Let's flip to Acts 8. So I encourage you to flip here because this is the eunuch. We're going to look at this for a few minutes. Acts 8, 26. Someone read Acts 8, 26 through 31, please. Acts 8, 26 through 31. Go ahead, Tori. Go ahead.
An angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south into the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, and a eunuch of great authority under Cadence, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Esaias the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself in this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Esaias, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? 31. And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him.
Okay, thank you. So, what's the situation here? There's eunuch. He was reading. He had come from worship, and he was reading, and an angel told who? Philip to do what?
Go join
this guy. Right? And Philip ran and caught him and went. And when he got there, Philip saw, well, the guy was sitting in his chariot, verse 28, and he was reading Isaiah. And when Philip gets there, verse 30, he asked him what? Do you understand what you're reading? Do you understand what you're reading? And what did the eunuch say? How can I understand unless someone guides me? Can you come up and sit with me? The eunuch was aware. He's searching. He's aware that he needs to do something. But he's trying to get to where? What level of faith? An understanding level of faith. How can I understand unless someone help me? I can't understand this. Come sit with me. So look at verse 35. Sandy, can you read 35 through 39?
Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing.
Okay, thank you. Bless you. So here, in verse 35, what did Philip start to do? He preached Jesus. Now he's exposing the eunuch to Jesus. And at some point here, verse 36, they came to water and the eunuch said, Here is water, what? What stops me from being baptized? Now clearly, preaching Jesus to the eunuch, at some point, Philip got him all the way through and said, and you need to be baptized, right? Otherwise, I mean, this guy's not randomly going down, you know, while they're riding and said, and sees water and says, you know, hey, I need to be baptized. I mean, where did that come from? Philip preaching Jesus, talking, teaching Jesus to him. And so, did they just stop and jump in and Philip baptize him? What did Philip tell him?
First, he said, if you believe.
Verse 37. It's like, whoa. Where was the eunuch on his level of faith over here? He's ready to act. Okay? I mean, he's ready to get baptized. He's ready to act. But what does Philip check for? He checks for belief.
With all his heart.
Right? If you believe with all your heart, you have to have a believing faith first, not just an imitation faith. Don't just do what you see other people doing. You ever did that when you were a little kid? You know, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. You know, what fork am I supposed to grab? Or, you know, whatever. And you're looking around and you don't really know why you're doing it, but you gotta, do I grab this fork or that fork or whatever it is, he's like, no. You need to check for belief. If you believe, you have to have a believing faith first, then you can act. Right? Do you believe? And he says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded that chariot to stand still, and they went into the water, and he was baptized. Right? A believing faith. Does believing always lead to action? Why not? You have examples or what? Why not? The demons believe, right? The demons, are they aware of Christ? Do they understand what he's about? They know he's the Son of God. They fear him. They believe. But they don't do the right things. They don't lead to the actions of God. Right? Their level of faith stops here. He said what? Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. I can't find any fault. I probably believe that this man is the Son of God. Can't quite do it. He didn't have an action level of faith. Right? Didn't have an action level of faith. Jesus said in Luke 6, 46 and 47, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and what? Do not the things that I say. I mean, that doesn't do anything. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not act? You know who I am, you believe I'm the Son of God, and you don't do the things that I'm asking you to do. He goes on to say there, right? If your brother needs this or your sister needs that, I mean, do you give them a stone? Do you not feed them? Do you not take care of them? It requires action, right? We need to move to action at some point. Let me leave you with this because we're at the end. Let me ask you this. Where does salvation happen? What level of faith do you have to be at to be saved?
I believe the action at baptism.
Mark 16:16 tells us what? He that what? Believes. And is baptized shall be saved. I'm going to suggest to you that there is a level of faith that's beyond action faith. That there is a faith that is so deep and you're so close to God that you know. You don't hope, you don't wish, you don't, that you know. And I also want to suggest to you that sometimes we're too hard on ourselves. I believe there's a heaven, or I think there's a heaven, but, you know, do I know there's a heaven? I mean, I believe there's a God, but do I? Listen, you need to believe in Christ. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe there was a Jesus? Do you believe he's the Son of God? And are you doing the things he says? You can have some doubt. The difference between here and here is your level of doubt. But we're going to study a whole lot of people who doubt, and they're saved. That's being human. And you're going to go back and forth. You just need to do. You believe, you trust, you do. You have an action level of faith. If you have an action level of faith, Jesus says, if you love me, what? You keep my commandments. You don't have to understand. We're going to study Naaman. Did Naaman, was he a knowing? I mean, he barely even believed. He believed enough. He was so furious. He believed just enough to do what God said. He wasn't going to act. He was going to walk away. But he did just enough in what? God blessed him. We're going to look at David, who knew he could take Goliath, based on what some of you have said, because of his experience, his testing. I've killed bears, I've killed lions. God's going to take this guy out. It was a knowing level of faith for a little guy to go up there against Goliath. Right? That is faith. Maybe we can get there. Maybe sometimes we have that level of faith. But you don't have to have that level of faith to be pleasing to God. But we should aspire to that level of faith.
That's why I'm struggling with where you think somebody can be or make that choice to get baptized because they actually are aware of what's going on. I believe in my heart that once somebody knows and understands and figures out what's real, and they are aware of that then and there, that you just said it yourself, God accepts everybody for every given point, even if it's a little bit. So if that person barely knows what they want, but they all of a sudden they want to be baptized, I mean, it's just like a worker on my job. He might not be the smartest guy, but that position is perfect for him, and he wants that job, so he takes it. So when somebody is aware of what God is and what Christ is, and he wants to be baptized, I can't see that not letting him be baptized just because he doesn't understand everything.
No, this isn't understanding everything.
Well, that's
this
what is, I felt like you were saying.
No, so this,
you get to a level, you can't be baptized because you don't
no, no.
Really understand and are aware of everything that's going on.
This is do I understand what God wants me to do?
Correct.
And at some point, the first thing you have to understand is that he wants you to be baptized.
Mm-hmm.
You need to understand that much, right? And you have to understand that much. And then you have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then you can be baptized.
But, I understand. I'm just saying, like, if I was a new person to this group and I came in and I was listening to you, I'm kind of afraid that I don't know enough to do any of that.
Okay. Baptized. Okay. So that's good clarification. I appreciate you clarifying that, because that's certainly not what I want to imply.
Right.
If we have to wait till we understand everything, we're never going to get there.
Right.
Right. Okay. Thank you. I know we're over.